Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Let's be real. The Housewives girls can be pretty fake. The girls go to the anger room to dish it out. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
This song just makes me want to start smashing things in the anger room. Am I right, Erica?
Indeed you are.
Y'all are. Thank you guys for tuning in. Welcome back to the Real Housewives of Dallas panel. We're talking season 3, episode 6. I am Rachel Robillard, and with me I have Erica. How are you doing, girl?
I'm good. What's up, party people?
Erica's here to join us for the remaining of the season, so we're going to have a good time.
Sounds great to me.
Right? So let's get started with the beginning and how Brandy has the social worker coming. And what do you think, like, Brooklyn and Brinkley said that was kind of like, is that a good idea for them to say in front of the social workers? What was your thoughts on that?
My favorite one was the flashback where I don't remember if it was Brooklyn or Brinkley, but where they were like, oh, my mommy's favorite drink is wine. I was like, that sums up Brandy in a nutshell. So, yeah.
We all like our Jesus juice. Come on, let's be for real.
Yes.
And so I doubt, like, the social workers, you could see they were kind of being comical and had a lot of comic relief with when she said that. So, I mean, there are times, and I want to be careful with my choice of words, because since she said that, I don't want it to come off as if she's an alcoholic.
Right.
Because that's, you know, for social workers, that's kind of like a red flag, like, but she's doing great this season. She's obviously a really great mom to Brooklyn, Brinkley, and now baby Bruin. So I just, you know, little Brooklyn said that, I was like, hopefully they were just more comical. Don't you think?
I agree. I mean, I do feel that Brandy's children are particularly rambunctious, but totally adorable. But also, I really felt for Brandy when she started, you know, when she talks about how she doesn't want to have a nanny. So I feel like, given the society that she's working in, that has to be a challenge for her, just to do it all without any help, really, except for her mom coming in. So I definitely appreciate her struggles, and a little Jesus juice makes it easier. So, you know.
A little Jesus juice wouldn't hurt you. I like it. I mean, yes. I love Brandy, so I think she's doing great with the whole mom thing. And then we have to briefly talk about the Global Pet Expo. And it wasn't predominantly, the entire episode didn't revolve around that. It was very short and quick, but Cameron went to the Global Pet Expo to get a distributor for what other than Sparkle Dog. Yes. And apparently it went really well. And what are your thoughts on Sparkle Dog? I haven't heard what you really think about the brand.
Well, I don't have a dog. And if I did, I'm not sure if I would buy expensive pink dog food. Mm-hmm. But I like the idea behind it. And I like the fact that she's trying to do something on her own. And it seems like, you know, she wants to do something kind of separate and apart from her husband. And I really appreciate that. And I really value that she's trying to show something to her daughter. Now, I don't really like that the kids always are like, that's dumb,
right?
And whatever. I'm like, okay, yeah, send them to timeout or whatever.
Give mommy
you
a break.
All do, but I think they're kind of, sometimes the kids make, they're being funny.
Right.
But I'm like, okay, you guys, show a little support, you know, because daddy's not home all day to give you hugs. So lighten up.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I love what she's doing and her drive, and that she's really taking the initiative, even though her husband is like semi-supportive. Like, he's like, yeah, go.
Right. Go
but
and
he
be
knows
confident.
He could just give her the money and be done. But I like the fact that he wants her to do it on her own. I get that. But I'm kind of like, if she fails, you better move in to pick her up instead It's a weird dynamic there, because sometimes I feel like he kind of wants her to fail a little bit so she'll be back at home.
So she stays home.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of halfway helping is, you know, interesting.
Yeah. And I love how they were FaceTiming each other. Court was like, you got this. And
yeah.
Being a supportive husband and father by saying you can do it. Just believe in yourself. Be confident is what exactly he said. And so it's like, okay, like exactly what you said. In the back of his head, I have a feeling like, is he wanting her to fail so she can be the typical Westcott mom and stay home, be that stay-at-home mama bear and...
Exactly. And what I really liked about that particular scene was that even though we all know he wants her to be at home, he was willing to kind of set that aside. And because sometimes you need that support in the moment. And I feel like he really gave that to her. And so that kind of is something you can definitely respect. So I kind of liked that sort of scene between them. So I thought that was cute.
And speaking of supportive husbands, Travis, Steph's husband, has been really supportive of her. He wants her to step up her leadership at the company and just being a mom in general. And so the Holman clan, they have at their company, it's a college initiative for employees, free education at the community college, Northlake. And so I think that's awesome that they do that, first and foremost, that they give free education for employees like the GED or for those to learn English. And it's the charitable giving initiative. That's what Steph founded at the beginning about a year ago, they mentioned.
Right.
And then they go into Wendy, what's her name, the marketing consultant, said we should have a dyslexia screening because Cruz, their son, has dyslexia. And then Steph just starts to cry. She gets a little emotional when that was said. And I felt her emotions when she started crying because they were just so, she couldn't help it at all. She was just, that was her mom instincts and thinking about her son. And I think that's really cool that they want to implement what they're going through for everyone else to, if they can help in any way. And so, and then we learned that Travis had dyslexia as well, and that he had this degenerative disease in his leg socket where he had to have a leg brace and a wheelchair growing up. I was like, whoa, I was not expecting that. Did you know anything about that?
I did not. And I think it really went far in like sort of humanizing Travis a little bit more to us, because sometimes he's a little burly, I guess. And yeah, I mean, I was touched by that scene, although I was kind of like Travis, like, okay, are you really crying at a meeting? But
that's how you took it? I love her,
but yeah. I mean,
took it a little differently than I did. Like, I was like, oh, that touched my emotional strings. Like it touched, see her cry.
Right. Don't get me wrong. It touched me. And I think Steph, you know, like it's definitely touching. But I think also for me, I want to see her stand up more because I think that the whole, even when they were like battling over the years with the decorating in the house and she's afraid to do anything when he's not there. Like, I think for me, I want to see her, like he said,
grow out of her shell.
Grow out and be a leader. Like, instead of, okay, he now has to tell you everything to do. So that was the only part where I was like, don't cry, you know. But I mean, I get it, and I was touched by it. But I want her to take some of the same moves that like Cameron's taking, you know, eventually. You know what I mean?
Exactly. It's very well said. And it's very obvious that Stephanie is the Robin while Travis is Batman in this situation. Like, you can just kind of tell that Travis is the alpha. He kind of wears the pants a lot, but I want Stephanie to step up. And it seems like she did that with the house. Like, she's like, okay, no pool in the living room, which I agree, no pool in the living room. So they got rid of that. But I think she has so much potential, and, you know, she might not be starting her own business like Cameron, but she can do it. She can help out in the business.
Yeah, I think to me, I definitely think she can do it. I just feel like she has a lot of fear.
She does.
A lot of times. Like, even when he's going to, you know, when he's going away to Harvard and she's like scared. And I know there have been scenes over the years when she's like planning his birthday parties and she's like almost terrified that the party's not going to. And sometimes I'm like, okay, calm. You can do it.
Right.
And I want her to realize it as well. Like, she definitely can.
It's like she needs to know that.
Exactly.
She needs to know that she can do it. And so she even said she could not name a time where she has been a leader. And she even asked her own husband, Travis, when is the time that I've been a leader? And he couldn't even give an answer.
Yeah.
I mean, I could give a couple times when I'm a leader, and I bet you too, Erica. Like, I can't believe there's no situations where she has led the group or just, that was crazy that they couldn't name one situation.
Exactly. And, but, you know, eventually, hopefully she'll have some.
She will. So, as you said, and so Travis is going to Harvard Business School, and so that's why he wants Stephanie to be the leader and step up with helping with the education and within the business, and also just being a mom and have being the mom, because it came across like he, you know, is the, like, he will make sure the boys are in line, and it seems like she, if the boys go out of line, it's like, okay, we'll talk to Daddy about that. What would Daddy say? What would he do? But I just, she needs to put her big girl panties on and do it.
Exactly. I totally agree with that. Although I can imagine, like, with Buckwild boys, you are going to be like, look, you know,
dad's
going to be home at 7. So what are you going to do? You need to get together. So I get it to an extent, but I think part of it is that he's so much the paternal, the man of the house, that she kind of is almost in that shadow. So this will be a month for her to really
to get out of that shadow,
get out of it. Exactly. And, you know, and take a stand.
I feel that. I do. And what do you have on the table for us today,
Erica? All right, you guys. Well, hey, After Buzzers. Our network producers after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help, okay? We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they are optional. They are. And so hit the subscribe button right now, people. Hit it now. I'm not even kidding right now. For this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments. Please do, because we want to hear from all of you. Let us know, and we'll thank you on the air. For now, thanks for being the best fans. You guys, we love you. And for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Bossy. Yes. I love that song in the background.
I know, because you're the boss of TV.
Like, I don't want to sing all the lyrics because I don't know them all. I don't me either. They're not very appropriate. But speaking of a boss, we got to talk about Leanne and how she is starting to plan her wedding. She has her wedding planner, Steve Kemble, come, who's a very great friend of Leanne's. And apparently he was on the show season 1 and season 2 that made special little cameos. I didn't even put that together. Right. I'm glad they did that.
I do actually remember when she's mentioned him a few times. Yeah.
And I love how in her little one-on-one interview, Leanne is like, I'm not forcing Rich to come. He's not handcuffed to me. His cops are not forcing him inside. He wants to be here, obviously. And then the first thing that comes out of his mouth is basically nothing, and he doesn't really have a vision for the wedding, so he's just kind of there, and he's like, I don't really care what happens, and he kind of wants Leanne to do it. And so, I mean, I would want my significant other to help me with the planning. Like, what about you? Do you want to, like, take over and be Bridezilla and just do all of it yourself?
Okay, I don't want to be Bridezilla, but I thought that was, like, huge that he just showed up. You know what I'm saying? Because most of the people that I know or whatever, the guy just kind of like, okay, it's cool. Mm-hmm. And I find it interesting because I need to do more research, and maybe this will be interesting. But with Leanne, I'm always wondering, personally, this is just my curiosity, like, where her money really comes from. Mm-hmm. Like, how she really, you know, so I'm like, is her Bravo check gonna pay for this wedding? Like, right. Who's paying for it? And he's paying for it, or he's probably paying for a lot of it. Mm-hmm. I would think. So I thought it was cool of him to show up, because I'm, you know, like,
so you're surprised that he even showed up?
I'm not surprised. I thought it was cool that he showed up, but I was like, to think that he's gonna suddenly have like a whole big like plan on what he wants for wedding and flowers and colors and stuff. I thought that was like an extreme thing to expect. Okay. Like, just be like, do you like blue or purple? And then let him make a choice. But to think like he had come to the meeting with all these great ideas.
I want these, like, flowers and this type of cake. And like, exactly. I don't think he knew it to a T, but this is also like his third wedding, right? Like, he's been married before. So he's done, like, been there, done that.
And also, he was the same person who set a date to make a date. So I don't see why she really thought he was going to be this big time planner. He's just like A or B, and he can make a choice. Exactly. And I thought he was very he was kind of cool about it because I was like, he could get an attitude any moment because really he barely, you know, he's cool with being there, but he wasn't. Woo, he's not a planner, so and the wedding planner was so funny and
very lighthearted, which is good. But I love how, speaking of dates, they actually set a date. They said a month. They said a month from now plus a year. So they said in November. That's right. And so then, you know, in her Willow 101, like, she says, got a date, biatches, you know, take that, Leanne, or sorry, take that, DeAndre. I got a date. But it's like,
well, actually, you have a month, chick.
You got a month.
Right. Like, I'm like, are you getting married before or after Thanksgiving? There is more than one day in November, as far as I know. So you have a month, which is better than what you had before.
Yeah.
So that's cool. But I was like,
it's coming down.
Right. I was like, wait a minute, let me rewind, because I thought we just said November. I didn't hear a date yet. So I was like, okay, but cool.
Very true. And they want 500 to 1,000 people at their wedding.
Oh, and then I loved it because I would be with him. I'd be like, look, you know, this isn't a Facebook wedding. I really only like 40 people. So why do we need 500?
That's exactly what he said. He was like, I'm not friends with that many people. So why would we have that many people? And
exactly.
And I get this is her first wedding. She wants this to be her one and only. So I get it. I get it. Like, to go big or go home. I personally want a big wedding. I mean, I don't know about 1,000, but then we got, you know, my family has their family, and my mom will definitely want to invite her friends. So it's like, who knows? It's going to add up. But Steve, the wedding planner, is like, for the amount of money you want to spend, you can have about 11 people. So that's, something's got to give in that aspect.
It's either 11 people or 500 people who only eat appetizers. Those are your options.
Those are your options.
But what's interesting about that, too, is I think there has to be some sort of thought process about, you know, because I know a lot of people who are this as well. She's still an older bride, you know what I mean? So it's not this, even though it's her first wedding and I want it for her. Like, I love to see older couples get together, like, because you can always find love, but not in Los Angeles, but you can always find love, I'm sure. But yeah, so it's like, okay, you're not 20, you know what I'm saying? And he has been married before, and he's probably footing most of the bill, and you are an older bride. Right. So to me, it's like, okay, do you have to have that big pomp and circumstance because you're not a part of that high society that you so much long to be a part of, I would say. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're not DeAndre or Cameron, like, you're Leanne. So you can have a nice, beautiful wedding without thousands, I would say. So.
Without, like, you know, $400 silverware. Exactly. You just got to pick and choose. Got to pick
exactly. Because then once she, you know, she save a little bit on the wedding, then she can have a nice, big home housewarming. That would be nice. That would be nice.
Yeah.
To see her do a $1 million remodel. I have hopes for Leanne.
We do. Both of us do. Now, Leanne and DeAndre are in a tiff. This is where the tiff is really happening this episode. You get to really see them start to fight a little more and more. Last episode, that was when DeAndre called her out with the whole, like, when's the date? What's happening? But now the roles are starting to reverse. But before we get to the whole reverse and DeAndre calling Leanne out, Leanne and DeAndre had a one-on-one for them to sit down and talk about DeAndre going through this crossroad about how she's transitioning with Hard Night Good Morning and wants to take her business out of her mom's umbrella. And so this is when Leanne blatantly called DeAndre lazy, said, you're being lazy, and if you can't take it, don't dish it. That's exactly her words. And how DeAndre is trying to explain to her great friend of 10 years, Leanne, how she's has to figure out the insurance. She won't be on the card. She has to get rid of Fanny, her maid. And that was the lazy reference. Like, oh, you got to clean it for yourself and have to do things on your own. And so that conversation was what really started a wheels turning of, okay, the things are about to go down. They're not as close as they were last season.
Well, I think for me, I think fundamentally, Leanne, I think given her history with the circus and now she's so engaged with the charities and the society, like, I feel like she has these aspirations to be part of something that she's not you know, that she wasn't, she didn't marry into it and she wasn't born into it. So, you know, and I think that underlying this, that, because I think I've had friends like that where it's like, you're their friend, but at some point someone, there's some, I think she's jealous of Deandra and her society and whatever. So I think some of that comes out in these different sort of kind of weird ways, because I feel like she was saying all these things to help her theoretically, but it was coming, wasn't quite coming from a place of total,
right,
total goodness to help you. That's why it came off as condescending, because she's sitting here still mad about what you said about her boyfriend. So this mm-hmm. doesn't, you know, I mean, that's what's driving these comments about you being lazy. And she's trying to frame it in a way that, oh, I'm helping you.
Right.
But this is her chance to kind of get a dig in when she wasn't able to before. And I feel like that is because she has some sort of perhaps underlying sort of like
animosity towards each other.
Yeah, or at least a little jealousy.
For sure.
I think. Yes, yes.
Yeah. So. I mean, it was constructive criticism. I feel like Leanne was trying to have some constructive criticism, but I also believe it's not always what you say, but how you
exactly.
say it.
Exactly.
And Leanne was saying it pretty brutally.
Exactly.
And it's like, I could tell you you're being lazy, but it was like, you are lazy. Like, that's like, it's like, whoa, you know, the hands are coming out, the claws, and it's like, oh gosh. But it, you know, to, in Leanne's defense, Deandra was pretty brutal talking about Rich, her fiance, in front of the girls. So it's like, I think it's like a tit for tat right now. That's what I'm picking up.
But to me, and I guess, you know, I mean, I like Leanne genuinely a lot, but I do feel like fundamentally Deandra is just a more real person. So mm-hmm. I think Deandra all along came from a place of, I have this wonderful marriage. I want that for you. Mm-hmm. And if this isn't going to work, then just tell me and tell us and whatever. And,
right.
and so I felt like her, even though she definitely was brutal with it, I felt like it came from a more genuine place. And I guess I would feel differently about Leanne if she didn't say in the 101, well, if you can't dish it, then you shouldn't, you know,
yeah.
it's like, wait a minute. I thought you were trying to help her with her business. Why are you still talking about something that happened like the last, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what made me think like, okay, so you're not coming from that same place, because even in the 101, Deandra is always like, Leanne deserves love, and that's what I want from her.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like Leanne is coming from that same genuine place.
I feel that. And so in speaking of previous episodes, they had the battle of who's the queen of the house. And so the panel, we all kind of decide who was the queen. What is your perspective on the queen this season? Is it Deandra or Leanne? Who would you, after that beauty competition, the beauty pageant they had?
Well, I personally feel like if you can do extra stuff with cups and you don't have to do squats or whatever, you are queen in my book. So Deandra letting loose and getting a little wild with the cup thing. She's
okay.
Think,
so you agree with that?
Yes, I agree.
Overall, they said Deandra was the queen of that pageant, but the majority of the panel, including myself, I feel like Leanne is the queen of the season of the Housewives. But that's just because she's the OG. She's been there since season one. But
right.
I do feel like Deandra is one of the realest.
Right.
What you're
right.
saying.
To me, I think Deandra is very throughout episode, she's very consistent. And mm-hmm. she's very, to me, she's of the, to me, to come from the society that she comes from and to have money and she's hardworking, she just feels very grounded. She's
right.
one of the few that just seems like, okay, she has a lot of stuff. So that's why I was like, well, she's not lazy. She goes to work and she
yeah.
works hard. She just, you know, she has this inheritance and stuff, but she's not flying all over the place in private jets and doing all this extra stuff. She's going to work and trying to deal with her mom. So that's why I'm like, okay, she's actually very hardworking. And to me, seems really grounded, but I guess everybody is afraid of Leanne, so there's
yeah,
that.
Exactly. And so Leanne hosted the anger room therapy session. And
yes.
so we're just talking about, you know, fake versus real. And all the girls were like, why is Leanne wearing a mustache? She's wearing a mustache to this group therapy anger room session. And she did it for a purpose. Like, she's like, let's be real. We all have somebody inside that we are not letting each other see. And that's when she takes off her mustache. I'm like, whoa, okay, this is like You're wearing a mustache for a purpose and for a meaningful statement. And then she goes into saying, like,
we need to... Wait, go back. So what does that mean? Like, on the inside, she's a man? Yeah. I am confused.
I know.
I was confused by the big reveal.
What? Are you... So, it was just, like, so emotional. Like it was just, like, what? Like, we are all someone we're not, and rips out the mustache. I'm like... Okay, this could have been said differently, and the mustache I still don't think was necessary, but I'll go with it. And then she goes into detail, like, we need to be real because this group is pretty good at being fake. And that's when Deandra's like, actually, I've been real. And what you just said, like, you think she's been real.
I definitely do.
And I think so, too. I feel amongst all the girls, Deandra has been the most real.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I watched, I think, every franchise or whatever. I mean, she's definitely, to me, one of the most authentic, and especially the most authentic person of that wealth and stature, for sure. Like, she just seems very straightforward, you know, and authentic, to be honest.
And then this is when Deandra gets pretty emotional. And these are, I felt her emotions right then and there, because she starts to cry and claims that Leanne doesn't have her back, and like, how dare she talk negatively about her, claiming that she only has $200 in her name. And I want to talk about that, because the argument is stemming from her going shopping in Beaver Creek with Brandy and how she spent a lot of money. And she made the comment, like, oh, I have $200 in my bank account. And Leanne ran with it, and Carrie mentioned it when Carrie and Deandra were together, how it got a little twisted, like, oh, I have $200 to my name. And I mean, I've been there when I only have like a couple bucks left in my bank account, like, but it's probably a lot different than Deandra. And like what Cameron said, she's like, I would never believe that for a minute, that she only has $200 to her name, because she is a Simmons, for crying out loud. And she then goes into detail, like, I have multiple bank accounts, and it was like more that bank account had 200. So how dare, like, she, I think why Deandra took it so offensively is because she doesn't want to lose friends. And that's what she went into detail. She's like, I don't want other people thinking that and start judging me upon it. What do you think?
Well, two things. First, fundamentally, and foremost, I have no idea why Leanne would tell Carrie anything. Like, Carrie is like her nemesis. I'm like, why is she talking to Carrie? And why does she think she's going to tell Carrie, and Carrie's going to keep her secret?
Right.
Like, what show are we on? Why does she think Carrie is her friend? Yeah. I don't even know. These are just hands. They show that clip every episode. Like, why do you think Carrie would have your back? So, yeah, that there was that. But I think... And this is what's so crazy about it, is Leanne can say whatever she wants, but Leanne is the first one to talk about, she and Cameron, about, oh, society and what people think of you matters and all this other stuff. And even though Deandra does not tout that very often, she still has to live in that world. And so, yeah, like, if people are out there gossiping about her only having $200, that's got to be humiliating given the society that she's in.
Right.
Even though she acts like, or not gonna say she acts like, I mean, I don't think fundamentally she really cares, but we all care about what people think of us.
Of course.
And to think that your best friend is out there spreading these rumors about you. And she has to think that she's spreading rumors, because she's probably looking like, well, I know Carrie doesn't mess with her. So if she's telling Carrie, she's got to have told everybody, because Carrie's not her friend. So that's why I can feel like she just had to be like, how could my best friend do this?
Yeah. And I love how the Leanne goes into detail, like, oh, Carrie, I told you because we were getting closer. And it's like, what, after that one massage, like that massage appointment in Beaver Creek, that they're getting closer. And so I'm
like, you would have done better if you would have said you were drunk, because I'm like, that's the only reason I would have really believed you. Like, you had some very touching moments with Stephanie in the last episode. So, you know, alcohol can go far. But I was like, why would you tell Carrie that? And I did appreciate Carrie being like, well, if you tell me something, you know, kind of like Phaedra in Atlanta. She's the bone carrier of Dallas. And she's like, if you tell me something, I'm going to tell her.
Yeah.
And I was like, mostly because she doesn't like you, Leanne. And I don't know why that's news.
Yeah. But. And Carrie said that. She's like, if someone tells me something about someone else, I'm going to tell people. Like, she even said that when they were all together.
Right. And I was like, yeah. Which I respect that she at least said that.
You're honest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go Carrie. Yeah. I mean, but that's also, that's what makes housewives housewives. Like, that's how the drama stems, because someone's telling someone that someone had said about someone else.
Exactly. But part of it, though, too, is, and I think Deandra's point is valid, is that she and Leanne, to this point, have had an allegiance that seemed mm-hmm. unbreakable. And mm-hmm. and it's kind of sad to see, but you can see that it's crumbling because, and mostly, you know, from what I can see, because of Leanne. But yeah, because it's like, I'm sure Deandra has, all you know, especially Leanne's a little, has their crazy moments. So I'm sure there's some skeletons in that closet that are just dying to fly out. But Deandra has not let them free because she's a friend.
Yeah. You really feel that. What kind of skeletons are you inferring to? What do you think, Erica?
I don't know, but
yeah, Leanne, who knows? I'm not sure. We'll see. But I think she definitely, you know, there's probably a lot that Deandra could have said over, you know, and hasn't, because mm-hmm. she thought that, you know, she thought Leanne had her back.
Yeah, and she even said that. She's like, I know so much that I would never tell a soul because I'm your friend. And so I'm just like, okay, what do you have to say, Deandra? Because we want to hear it.
I know. And I think we will. I mean,
this is all just the beginning. But the thing is, they hugged it out at the end. So it's like, okay, we're good. I'm still mad at you, but we're good. So I'm like, okay, so you're not good. Like, they go on. But I love how Cameron makes the comment, like, no one would believe that for a second, that Deandra would only have $200. Like, is she talking about her Starbucks account?
Right. And then, to be honest, what was interesting, even when they showed that episode when they were in there, and then when Brandy later bought the necklace for her, I was looking like, I didn't know Brandy had that kind of money. I was like, how much was that necklace?
Well, it goes to show, actually, they shared it. They mentioned on the blog,
right?
Yeah,
$2,000.
The girl split it. It wasn't all just Brandy who gave her the necklace.
Oh, okay. That's how it came across. That's the way it came. That's good to know, because mm-hmm. that's the way it came across. And I remember thinking, like, they just got a new baby. They got money like that.
Right.
But that is good to know. So thank you.
According to the blogs, it was split between all of them for the necklace.
And even if she only had $200, I think she spent $4,200. Like, on that hat was like $4,000.
Yeah.
So I'm like, she spent plenty of money at that shop anyway, even though her friends were worried.
And Brandy's like, yeah, like egging her on to like keep, you know, you need those boots. You need that $2,000
hat.
Exactly.
I was like, right? I might never go to Beaver Creek. I was like, or Beaver Creek, excuse me.
And get some get some beaver liquor.
Yes.
That was good. I love saying that. Forever beaver liquor. But so the girls are in the anger room and they start throwing things and they're really getting their anger out, and they write on there what they are letting go of. And Leanne says, like, the dangerous, she's throwing it. And then Brandy's throwing away her controlling. And then, you know, I'm not good enough from Deandra. And then the perfectionist from Steph. And then Cameron writes, I want to have the simple life. And just from the music to everyone just making, like, the faces at her, like, wait, what? But, you know, I gotta give Cameron the benefit of the doubt.
And that's where you all misunderstood. By simple life, she means, why should she have to get her own luggage at the airport when she has a private jet? And I totally feel her. I, too, want it just to be simple. You know what I'm saying? Why do I have to go through customs if I have a private plane? I don't understand. I want it to be simple. So simple could certainly mean different things for different people.
That is very true, Erica. And this was the global, her global expo. This was one of the first times she rode coach and had to get her own bags, traveled alone.
Wait. She just said she didn't take the private jet. I'm not certain she rode coach now. Like,
no, she did. She said, she's like, I'm riding coach.
She wasn't riding.
Like, this is a business. I'm not a vacation, so I'm riding coach.
Okay. No, I knew she said she wasn't taking the private jet, but I was like, she's probably still going to go first.
And she had to rent her own car. It's like, woohoo.
She's like, I don't think I've ever done that before. I met him in college. And I was like, see, the private jet is way simpler.
Right?
Way simpler.
Gosh, I still want a PJ party on the PJ, Cameron.
Exactly, exactly.
And so then Brandy mentions to Leanne how she said that there was hesitation about Deandra being friends with her. And so then it's going to go into more depth about that next episode. But then Cam kind of got herself into it, like, oh, well, I don't think you're the best influence on, like, if Brandy's the best influence on Deandra. So it's just, it's going to get shady.
It was, although I think Cameron gets points for being honest, because she did say that. And I was like, don't have Leanne out there looking like she's the only one who thinks Brandy is a little buck wild to be hanging with Deandra. And Cameron clearly thought that. So I appreciate her kind of stepping up and not kind of leaving Leanne out to dry, right. Because in this one instance, I think Leanne wasn't totally, I mean, she was being a little bit of a jealous hater a little bit, but I think she did really feel that, like, okay, you know, Brandy and I had this big blowout.
She was warning a sister. That's what she was doing. I agree with that. She didn't intentionally mean to stir the pot to get another gossip story going, but it was like, hey, just be on the lookout. I've experienced it. I want you to watch your back, because I would appreciate it if you told me the same.
Exactly. And I will say this. I do. Deandra actually told Brandy this after they were doing all these shots and stuff at the bar. So I would give Deandra the benefit of the doubt. And I think, like, had she been sober, because it was kind of like, oh, my gosh, you're so cool. And, you know, Leanne kind of warned me, but you turned out to be cool. So I get the impression that maybe had she been sober, she might not have done that.
Exactly. Now let's go into a little bit of predictions before we wrap up. And so, predictions, what you think's to come. You're
after Buzz TV. All right. I think that we're just going to see more and more of Leanne and Deandra crumbling.
Yeah.
For sure. I think it'll be interesting to see once Leanne and Deandra falls out who, because you always have to have a friend. So I don't know who will be Leanne's go-to. Like, I don't know if they're going to have I don't know who, because nobody really likes her that much. But Stephanie's getting closer to her. But I think they're definitely going to eventually fall out.
Yeah, they do the preview for the next episode. There's obviously conflict between Deandra and Leanne, and then Carrie and Cameron have a little bit of beef, and then Brandy's also. It's just like there's more drama to come that hasn't been unveiled yet, but I'm ready to see what plays out. There was a kangaroo. I saw a kangaroo in there.
Which looked totally adorable.
With a diaper on. Yes. And then some shirts were taken off. Like, are we, like, calling the strippers? Like, what's happening?
Yes.
It's like, okay, Stephanie gets the reins to be a leader, and then she calls in the boys to take off their shirts. I'm like, I need to know what's happening next episode to find out. So we're going to do that. So then that kind of wraps up our show for tonight, and then we're excited for next episode. I want to see the boys with their shirts off again. Erica, where can we find you on social?
Okay, you can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, D as in door, Edwards.
Thank y'all so much for tuning in to the Real Housewives of Dallas panel. Y'all can catch us again next week at 8 p.m. Pacific time. I'm Rachel Robillard, and y'all can find me on Twitter at @Rach_Robillard. Thanks for tuning in.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.